You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, one of the most perplexing questions that managers in leadership positions often face is how to deal with difficult employees. And employees' problematic behavior and poor attitude can spread quickly, negatively affecting their productivity as well as that of other members of the team. So it's important that we have this conversation and that we understand how exactly to go about dealing with difficult employees. What are the things that we need to know? What does a leader need to know? Why is it even important to know how to manage a difficult employee? What's the big deal? And in fact, someone would want to know, why not just get rid of them? Isn't that easier to do? So we're going to be having this conversation. Sam Alexander joins us on the line now. My elder, good evening, good afternoon. I'm not sure what time it is right now, how dark it is outside. But hello and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. I'm delighted to be part of the show.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you making time to speak with us this afternoon, my elder. And it's an important subject, managing difficult employees. Maybe let's start off by sharing characteristics of employees that may typically be labeled as difficult or toxic. What specific behaviors are we talking about that need to cause concern?
Yeah, look, this is a very difficult question for me to answer because you will see that my approach in dealing with this topic, well, sometimes I need to conclude that I could be a difficult leader. I could be a difficult manager. So I cause certain behaviors that I then categorize as difficult in the employee. But at any rate, so but yeah, you have the situation where you have people who are uncooperative, people who are insistent on following the wrong course, people who are not really are supportive of meeting deadlines and standards, etc. difficult people. They have a history.
Okay.
So maybe sometime we want to talk about what kind of person am I inheriting. And where do I source that person from?
Oh, okay. Okay, that sounds good. And when we're speaking about, you know, the difficult behaviors and certain things that might give leaders and managers a headache, sometimes it's really just a person who challenges leadership. I wanted to know if that's necessarily a difficult person, a person who challenges, even if they challenge often, is that necessarily a difficult employee, or is there sometimes a need for such a person in every team? Should we all just go along to get along? What do you think about that?
You see, what we should teach our people is the following.
Okay.
You know, there is wrong. When the wrong is wrong, there is right. When the wrong is perhaps right.
Okay.
But what we often do, the third leg will explain to you.
Okay.
When we pursue the wrong right,
we
can be strong and forceful.
Mm-hmm.
The first category is a person who is just blatantly wrong, and you know that. But there are some people who are actually pursuing the wrong right, or the right wrong, whichever way you want to look at it. But that's not where I want to stop. I want to stop with the person who we would like to graduate to the level where the person pursues the right right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The right right is where wisdom comes in, and you want to lead your team members to become wise and to pursue the right thing in the right way.
Right.
So that's why I say the manager might perhaps not manage as well, but that kind of thing prevails in an organization where you have to develop people to engage in the in the right topics in the right way. Because remember, you can actually engage in the right topic in the wrong way.
Yes, yes.
So you as a leader must be able to tease out and say to yourself, man, she's right. But how am I going to help her to describe the right in a way that it's beneficial for her and for me?
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So when you join a team, or when a team member joins you, it is important for you to say, first of all, you know, this is what this organization stands for. We stand for commitment, for excellence, for determination, for flexibility. We stand for all of those things. Now, in the light of that, please tell me what are your values, and I will not tell you what the values of the organization are until we meet. And I know what your values are.
Right.
Then I would say to the person, now, I want you to know that these are the values of an organization. I know one organization where one of its values is the right to question. In other words, if and of course you do it with decency and with discretion, but you have the right to question anything. Not in an aggressive way,
right,
but for understanding. I want to understand, why do you do things that way? Why are you insisting that we should be in time? For example, don't put things on the walls in your office. Don't put pictures, however impactful they may be. Don't put them on the wall. Why? Why, sir? Please help me to understand why I should not do that. Then you get to the point where you understand, okay, there are some things in this organization that I'm not going to change, but I understand why they're done in a particular way. So this is what I do on day one. On day one, I sit people down and I say, this is what I call a wow session.
Okay.
This is a wow session. W-O-W.
All right.
A wow session. W-O-W stands for always working.
Sorry, say that again. W-O-W stands for?
Ways. Of working.
Ways of working. Okay.
You got that. So that's what I call a wow session. So now you understand where I come from. I need to also understand where you come from.
Okay.
How would you like to? The person might say to me, sir, you may find that I arrive at work a little late at times, but I want you to know I live in a place where the transport is absolutely difficult, and I can't arrive on time. And you might even find that when I arrive at the office, I have a quick bite, and maybe quick bites are not allowed when you come in. And I will say to you, your meal time is 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, you will have to wait until then. And the person might say to me, you know, sir, I'm very hungry. I have a 1.5 hour journey to work and I get up very early. But then you determine how you work together. Our ways of working is a very important basis for good management and good behavior.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Right.
So it's about making sure that everyone is heard, everyone feels heard.
Correct. So you're already creating a platform for the person to say, well, this is this is, it seems to be a privilege. And then the next thing you let the person know, we are going to have this discussion once a quarter.
Okay.
And this discussion is to have candor, honesty, equity. We're going to be talking about our needs, your needs, the company's needs. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's important. So, again, I say, now we understand what your values are, but more importantly, because you're in the company, you understand what the company's values are. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I really would like to have your cooperation, and I don't want to have any explosions. I don't want to have any careless deviations, and I don't want to have any attitudes against management.
Right, right. Now, Elder, in your experience, would you say someone who already has that kind of a toxic personality, or someone who just inherently just wants to cause trouble, would you say that having these kinds of conversations might discourage that side of them, would rather encourage them to be more cooperative? Do you think that can happen? Or is it possible that maybe sometimes some people just want to be disruptive, and that even those conversations would not necessarily, make them change their minds about that? Is that possible?
Okay, now, that may be possible to the inept manager, because managers are designed to lead people and teams, okay? Mm-hmm. So now, I'm giving people, and I hope they have a pencil ready where they are so that they can capture the ideas. Mm-hmm. When you deal with a person who is toxic, mm-hmm, and difficult and complicated to work with, let's say, Bongi, you are my problem child.
Okay.
You are a difficult employee. Mm-hmm. Then I would go to Winston, and I would say to Winston, there's something I like about Bongi. Mm-hmm. She is very consistent in meeting deadlines and targets.
Okay.
Now, remember, this is now my difficult Bongi.
Yes.
This is a Bongi that doesn't work well with me,
yeah,
but she's got some strengths, okay?
Sure.
She has some strength, and I'm telling her colleague, these are the things I enjoy and like about Bongi, without letting Bongi know. Mm. But I make sure that the friend is a friend of Bongi.
Right.
So your friend will come to you and say, you know what the manager said to me about you today?
Mm.
He says he really appreciates ABC.
Yeah.
Now that technique is what you call a third person affirmation.
Mm.
Because you are affirming Bongi through another person.
Right.
A person that I know is friendly with her.
Yeah.
And I hope that person, and generally people go back and they talk about what the manager said.
Mm-hmm.
And Bongi may be surprised to hear that that's what the manager says.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Okay, that's a one technique. The other technique is, now that's a third person affirmation. When you talk to somebody else, what do you talk to Bongi about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, remember, you must create opportunities. Now you say to Bongi, you know what? I wonder if we could have a spot of drink, just, mm-hmm, to have a chat with each other.
Okay.
So we have tea together, or we have, I've got 15 minutes free and I'd like to have a drink with you in the canteen.
Mm.
And so they sit together and they have a talk in the canteen. Bongi sees that I'm moving closer to her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm moving closer to her.
Yeah.
And And the way I deal with her is what I call tracking positives. For example, this problem, Bongi, she must also see how I treat others, because it mustn't be just geared and aimed at her. So somebody comes to work late. Let's say comes to work late regularly, and it's not an acceptable thing. So I, the manager, openly let it go once, let it go twice, let it go three times, and then that staff member comes to work early. Now you take that staff member into your office and you say, you know what? I really like the idea that you came to work early today. You don't know what it does to me. You don't know how it sets me at ease and how it helps in the management of the team. That is what you call the technique of tracking positives. The person comes late, you don't talk about it. Because when you do talk about that, of course, within reason, when you talk about that, you are tracking negatives. You're late. You are late.
Yeah.
Your assignment is not in time. You're not cooperating with the team. No. When that person works well with the team, my wife just told me yesterday how chief executive spoke to her senior executive and said to him, you know what? This lady is an excellent contributor in the, she just joined the team recently and had a promotion. She is an excellent participant in the team. You know what? Who told my wife? Her own executive said, you know what? Richard said, you're an excellent. So that is when you are tracking positives. You're tracking positive and you downplay the negative.
Yeah.
It's sometimes risky to downplay the negatives. The purpose of this discussion, Bongi, I hope, it is not to identify what is toxic. Okay. It is not to identify what is negative. It's not to identify what is not a part of teamwork. It is to identify those areas that you have to look at, and you have to minimize them by not tracking them. The minute that staff member does well, you track it. You track the positive. And you speak about the positives, sometimes directly, preferably directly, and sometimes you tell that person's manager or that person's supervisor, man, I really like the cooperation that I see coming from Bongi. You know, you must understand, when I read the script, it seems to me that the only problem we have is a very difficult person. And I said to myself, my job is to convert that person from being difficult to being cooperative, from being difficult to being supportive. That is your job. So when you as a manager, the minute you see something that you don't like, don't hog what you don't like.
Yeah.
Desire and aspire to that which you would like. And you have that little... You have that little discussion with yourself, and you talk to yourself, and you ask yourself, how can I convert that negativism into positive?
Beautiful, beautiful.
Okay.
Oh, man, my elder, I wish we had more time. There's so much more that I'd like us to cover, but hopefully we'll be able to connect again sometime soon to continue on with this conversation, because there's so much more that I would have liked to ask you, so many more aspects that I would like us to consider. But we will be in touch and make sure that we continue this conversation sometime soon. But for today, thank you so much for your time and for sharing such an interesting perspective of checking what you can do as a leader instead of labeling someone in some way, instead of magnifying the negative behaviors, to actually focus on the positive and try that and see how that works out. Thank you so much for your time.
This is, Bongi, This is a Christian program.
Yes.
And we are saying whatsoever things are good and lovely,
yes,
and are good, think on these things.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Elder Sam Alexander, for your insights on the subject. God bless you.
Have a great day. Thank you.
All right.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.